I am getting ready to walk on some thin ice. Again, yeah. And take a chance on getting some people really, really upset. And if you search diligently on the inside of me, you will not find anything that says, I'm worried. It's not in there. Truth is truth, and that's just the way it goes. We live in a world, actually the body of Christ is too many people in the body of Christ, they're not too concerned about truth, they just want to hear what they want to hear. Well, let's get into this. And as I go further into this, please, I'm asking you, don't get mad, all right? If you feel yourself starting to get mad, just take a deep breath and kind of ease up, okay? And just hear what I'm saying. Because too many Christians, and really, too many people in the world are influenced by the world. It shouldn't be like that. But it is. Here a couple of years ago, there was a professional football player who decided he didn't like the way things were going in society, so he wanted to initiate a protest. And his chosen form of protest was to wait until the national anthem was being played at a game, at which point he kneeled down. And when he was asked about it, he defiantly proclaimed, I am doing this to bring attention to social injustice in this country. Well, that didn't go over too well with a whole lot of people. Even some liberals didn't like it. But he continued to do this and continued to do it. And then another athlete here and another athlete there, football player here, football player there, football player. Some basketball players started doing it. And pretty soon you had players, several of them, were kneeling during the national anthem. And then you had college players doing this. And then it trickled down into the high schools and below. And it's all because, you know, we want to draw attention to social injustice. Now, maybe your experience in all this has been different from mine. But out of all the stories that I've read, interviews I've heard, commentary that I've heard, I personally have never heard one person say, you know what? All this kneeling during the national anthem has got me to thinking we need to do something about social injustice. I haven't heard that. I haven't read it. What I have heard and read are some people saying, that's a good thing to do. We support it. I've heard a lot of other people just the opposite. In fact, here in Dayton, there's one particular bar where the owner said, like, I think he used some language that's not necessarily in the Bible, but he said, we are not going to play any more NFL games on Sunday because this is wrong. It's a slap in the face to this nation and to the people who have fought to defend our freedom. So we're going to show something else on all of our TVs. Well, amazingly, his bar has been jam-packed on Sundays. In fact, business increased on Sundays. Now, some folks would hear what I'm saying and think, well, Brother Martin, you're pathetic. You just don't understand. My question would be, what is it I don't understand? You don't understand social injustice. You've never been the object of social injustice. Well, if I had been the object of social injustice, how would it have looked like? How would it have appeared? And, you know, when you start to think about this whole thing of the social injustice and, you know, kneeling during the anthem and all that, I admit there is social injustice. There's been social injustice ever since Cain killed Abel. There's been social injustice in this nation continually. There's no way to say it doesn't exist. But it's rather ignorant, foolish, and some people would say brainless to protest it in that fashion. And to act like nothing's ever been done to address social injustice. Well, at the risk of really offending a lot of people, I would like to ask, what about the over 360,000 soldiers from the North, 95% of them white, who gave their lives during the Civil War to fight social injustice? What about them? And one of the, listen, I'm going to give you a heads up. The liberals have been taking over the authoring of our school books. And slowly but surely, they've been rewriting history to make the Civil War sound like it's about economics. Now, if this were not a church, there is one particular word, it's two syllables, that I would use and not regret it to describe that attitude. It was not about the economy directly. Indirectly, it was. Because if you end slavery, all of a sudden the slave owners don't have anybody to beat and abuse and make them go out there and pick their cotton. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now you're going to have to pay. And you're not going to reap incredible profit off the backs of people who are being abused. So what about the 360,000 plus people, 95% of them were white, who died to fight social injustice? Does that not matter? Doesn't it? Well, it should. And what about the hundreds of thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people, the majority of them white, who died during World War II fighting social injustice that was identified by the name of Nazi Germany? Because the Nazis were guilty of killing way over 6 million Jews, killing way the numbers of people that they murdered. Nobody really knows. And this wasn't just the Jews. It also includes people who had birth defects. It also includes homosexuals. I'm not defending that practice, but you don't go around killing people for that. And it also includes what a lot of people don't want to talk about, blacks. Because Nazi Germany was excessively, extremely anti-black. One of the greatest things that ever happened was when Jesse Owens showed up at the Olympics in Berlin and smoked everybody else on the track. Hitler was extremely embarrassed by that one. Praise God. See, kneeling at the anthem to protest social injustice is absolutely ridiculous. Because, see, the flag of this nation and the national anthem, that song, it represents, both the flag and the national anthem represent a nation that has adopted the phrase, "In God we trust," as a standard. Now, the flag and this national anthem do not symbolize social injustice. They symbolize the standard of this country. They represent the declared stand of this country, "In God we trust." Now, I know, it's hard to see anything resembling a trust in God, but it's still the standard, the phrase, the declaration of this country. Just because there are people in this country who treat others in an unjust manner does not mean that's what this country is about. Now, you want to fuss with me about it? Fuss with me about it. You send me your emails, I'll get through the first sentence or two, and boom, I delete it. I don't care. Unfriend me on Facebook. It doesn't matter. You're not going to hurt my feelings because I know, bless God, I'm right in this. And yeah, I'm angry because you got Christians who are so, bless God, ignorant, they're standing up for the real social injustice. This country is the greatest country in the nation. And our arms are locked with Canada and to a certain extent with Australia and definitely with Israel. And yet you've got people in this country who really don't understand. You know, if it just happens that all of you NFL players and NBA players and Major League Baseball players are watching this tonight, I got a message for you. All of you out there who think, yeah, we're going to kneel at the national anthem, and boy howdy, everybody's going to listen to us. And we're going to change this country by kneeling at the national anthem. Well, you know you've infuriated a whole lot of people. And have you not figured out people aren't supporting this? They're not supporting it at all. You're making yourself out to be fools. Now, if you're mad at me, good. Keep listening. Because I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Now, I'm serious. Listen to me now. I'm going to tell you what you need to do if you want to get your point across. You need to follow the example of the pro-abortion and the pro-homosexual people. Because here's how they did it. They weren't stupid enough to think that insulting the flag and this nation and our national anthem would work. No, they were far smarter than that. What they did was begin accumulating money. Millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And then they began a media blitz to begin impacting the minds of people who are not truly committed to serving Jesus Christ. And the end result, it took time, but the end result was they not only got abortion approved, but they have, at least in one state so far, they have gotten postpartum abortion, which is, I mean, how do you have postpartum abortion? It's murder after delivery. They've got that approved. Now, the same thing is true with the homosexual agenda. Hey, they just got their groups together, they formed organizations, and they began collecting money, collecting money, collecting money, and influencing through the media. And the result was, now we have homosexual marriage. It's legal. All this other stuff. Now, the point I'm making is this. If all you athletes are really upset about social injustice, then why don't you follow the example of the pro-abortion and the pro-homosexual groups? You guys are making all kinds of money. Why don't you form groups and put some of your millions into the funding of anti-social injustice programs? Why don't you do that? Put your money where your mouth is. Because you haven't accomplished squat with all this kneeling. Some of you are thinking, are you ever going to get to the Bible? Yes, I am, real soon. And you're going to understand what's going on here. Because, see, you athletes, with all due respect, you're pretty stupid the way that you've done this. You think that kneeling is going to accomplish it. It's not. But if you put your money together, which, I don't know, I kind of think you're not going to do that. Because when it comes to putting your money towards something, I'm not seeing that done. Oh, I know many of you start foundations and charities and so forth. I get that. I get that. But when it comes to the kind of commitment it's going to take relative to the whole social injustice stuff, I don't think you're going to do that. You're not going to do it the way the pro-abortion and the pro-homosexual agenda did. You won't. Prove me wrong. Start tomorrow. Start next week. Start next month. Start sometime. But at least make people think you're serious and quit slapping this country in the face and thinking that's going to change things. It's not. You just created more division. You say, well, Brother Martin, boy, you're on a soapbox tonight. Well, now, hold on. We're headed somewhere. Because you see, I'm going to identify tonight what really is the true, genuine social injustice. What it all comes down to. Turn first to Jeremiah chapter 17. It was interesting because as I'm praying about the message tonight, all of a sudden in my mind, boom, Jeremiah 17. And I'm thinking, well, what's in Jeremiah 17? I have no clue. So I turn to Jeremiah 17, I start reading, it's like, glory to God, there it is. There it is. Now listen to this. I'm hoping you're there. Jeremiah 17, look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. This right here is the true social injustice. It's when a society turns its back on God and trusts on itself to take care of itself. This is the true social injustice. And the body of Christ is the primary blame. It's because what's happened is, over the years, the body of Christ has come to the place of listening to the society declare, we will take care of you. We will provide for you everything you need. We'll see to it that everything is done for you. But you gotta put us in office so we can do this. And so people hear this in the body of Christ. And they say, hey, that person is going to take care of me. So now what happens? They begin, as he says here in verse 5, they make flesh their arm. In other words, their source, their strength. And their heart departs from the Lord. And do you know what happens? In this process, you end up with what we identify as social injustice. Because the more that you trust in people to fix the problem, is the more you add to the problem. Because you're saying, hey, you're not doing enough for me and my people. Hey, you're not doing enough to support us. Hey, you got lots of money. You need to give it so that we don't have to do anything. You begin increasing the division within a society. And the truth of the matter is, the body of Christ, they're the ones who should be dealing with this. Now, he says, look, you'll be, verse 6, the person looking into verse 5, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. Do you realize what God is saying? This is not about trusting the law. This is about trusting the Lord. It doesn't matter that Jeremiah is in the Old Testament. This is about trusting the Lord. This is not about living by the law of Moses. And so he says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, that makes flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Do you realize the more that that's happened, it's opened the door for this curse to be manifest in this nation? You say, well, you know, but Jesus came, and I know what Jesus did. But this verse right here, this passage is still true. It's still in operation today. It's just that now we trust in the Lord through Jesus Christ. We don't trust in the Lord through the law of Moses. You see what I'm saying? The avenue by which we demonstrate our trust is different, but the principle's still the same. And so therefore, the more that we've done this as a society, as a body of Christ, is the more we've opened the door for this curse. And what is included in this curse? Well, he says, look, you're going to be like the heath in the desert. You'll not see when good cometh. In other words, you're going to be desolate. Now, let's think about this. Again, there's a lot of imagery here. Let me paraphrase it for this message. Your society is going to be desolate, and you're not going to know what to do to change your circumstances. You're going to be like the heath in the desert who has no idea, no clue when good cometh. Is good coming? Good's here now. When you have people stand up and say, trust in God. When you have people stand up and say, hey, these things are wrong and that thing is wrong and you don't go around killing babies and so on and so forth. People don't hear it. People don't see it. Because they're solely focused on all these people that are saying, well, they're doing us wrong, and those folks are doing them wrong, and these folks over here are doing the other folks wrong. Everybody's doing everybody wrong. Okay, verse 6, it's happening. We're living in verse 6. And the reason we're living in verse 6 is because we did verse 5, and the curse has been released. Now, you're not going to turn this around. I don't care how many times you stand up, and you say, oh, in the name of Jesus, you know, you... Jeremiah chapter 17, cursed devils, we rebuke you. I mean, just speak that all day long to your lips split from dryness. It's not going to work. You know why? Because you can't change the hearts of people if they don't want their hearts to be changed. And it's the individual who must make the decision, I will trust in the Lord, not the arm of flesh. And he says, on the other hand, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. My hope of equity is in the Lord. Well, how do you figure that? Well, because if I trust in the Lord and you trust in the Lord, guess what? You're going to treat me right and I'll be treating you right. It won't have anything to do with what country you came from or what color your skin or where you live or what you eat and what you don't eat. And you understand what I'm saying? If you're trusting in the Lord and I'm trusting the Lord, it's going to work. And he says, look, not only that, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be, verse 8, like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now, this is very similar to Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Very similar. We're not going to go back there. You can do it later. But look at this. He says, you're going to be like the tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. So he's telling you, he's coming. In other words, heat, challenging situations. You're going to have a year of drought. But you know what? In the midst of it, you're going to continue to yield fruit. In other words, the economy can look like it's falling apart. But you won't. Now, on a national scale, it can look like the economy worldwide is in utter turmoil. But if the nation is trusting in the Lord, that nation is going to stand strong in the midst of an economic collapse throughout the world. That's the imagery that's presented here. You say, well, Brother Martin, is it going to happen? No. How do you know? Because I read the book of Revelation, and I know what's going to happen. What I'm telling here, I'm presenting the solution, but now it's up to the people to want it. As individuals, here in this building, those who call this their home church, we have to want this because on an individual scale, this is still true. The economy can look bad, but you know what? I can still do well. I can still make it. Just like Israel in Egypt. When darkness settled over the land of Egypt, there was light in the land of Goshen. Explain that one. It was a hand of God on those people. Well, you know what? The hand of God is going to be on us. Because when we trust in the Lord, He's promising. He's telling you right here, if you trust in me and not the arm of flesh, here's what's going to happen for you. And this will happen for your nation as well. And then it says down here in verse 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from thee, from me, shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. What are we seeing in this country? I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you live. I don't care where you've come from. God is God. Jesus is Jesus. The same God in the United States, the same God every other nation. Jesus is Lord everywhere. You understand what I'm saying? There is no other God. There is no other Savior. So it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your background. The bottom line is this. In this country, collectively, this nation has forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And the body of Christ is the worst offender. How can you expect the lost to even have any concept of wanting to follow God when the body of Christ is not setting the example? When we jump on board with the liberal agenda, when Christians support the kneeling down thing, you know, because somebody's got to do something, yeah, trust in the Lord. This is not complicated. You know, some of you in here were, you've served in the Army, and some of you in here have maybe parents who served in the Army. I mean, good gracious. You know, all those hundreds of thousands of people that left this country to go over to Europe to fight that social injustice the Nazis were imposing all throughout Europe, to try and to defeat that so that it wouldn't invade here and take over this country. Well, thank God that, I mean, they won, all right? But look at all the people who died fighting social injustice. And, you know, you could go on with other wars and other things and that have happened. But it's like these folks that are doing all this kneeling, this doesn't click with them. You know why? Because it's all self-centered. It's all about me. Because if you really were wanting to do something right, you'd listen to the voices of reason. You'd listen to the voices of wisdom. Just go through and read the book of Proverbs. You'll see a lot about that. Now, look over in Isaiah 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And we're going to see just a few verses that go right along with what we just read in Jeremiah 17. In Isaiah 30, look here, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. This is talking, now symbolically, the rebellious children would represent the Christians who have made a decision to trust in Egypt and Pharaoh. Well, what would Egypt and Pharaoh represent? Our social structure, our government, the people that get elected into office. I voted you in, now you owe me. You better do this, you better do that. And he says, look, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. In other words, you're listening to the voice of Pharaoh. You're listening to the voice of Egypt in the land. That cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. What's the covering? Whatever you can give me. Whatever you can provide for me. Yeah, I'm supposed to be hiding under the shadow of the wings of the Lord God Almighty, but I'm going to hide under the shadow of the wings of your political party, under your promises, under what you said you'll do for me, and I'm expecting you to fix everything. I can't. Guys, look at the history of this country and every other country. Man can't fix anything. That's why Jesus, when he was talking, he said, look, you've got people out there, they're going to cry, peace, peace, but I'm telling you, there is no peace. Why not? Because Jesus and his lordship are not recognized. And he says, no, they basically here, verse 1, he says, you know, they turned their back on me and they turned their face to Egypt. They don't ask me for advice. They don't ask me to help. But they try to strengthen themselves in the strength of their political leaders, of man, the arm of flesh. They trust in the shadow of their government. And he says, you know what? Fine. You go right ahead and do that. But the strength of Pharaoh is going to be your shame. Look what's happening in this country right now. The strength of Pharaoh absolutely is bringing shame on this nation. Now, I'm not speaking harshly of our current president. I'm talking about this system that we have established as a nation and the way that people have put their trust in people instead of the Lord. He says you're trusting in the shadow of Egypt, and he says it's your confusion. My goodness, if there's ever confusion alive in this country today, good glory. Some of these politicians, things they say, it makes no sense. I mean, it's weird. It's weird. You know, you got one politician who wants to kill all the farting cows. That's nuts. I mean, how do you determine which ones do and which ones don't? You got to, well, you run behind them all day or what? They want to get, well, they want to change this. They want to do that. You got one politician that wants to make sure that everybody can go to college for free. Who's paying for that? I'm not going to stand here and go on and on. The point I'm making is this. There are some people out there, they are influenced by a confusion. It's because they put their trust in Egypt and in Pharaoh, in the arm of the flesh. See, the people who really should be doing the kneeling, it's the body of Christ. We're the ones who should be on our knees, going before God. In fact, I wasn't even going to bring this up. Look over in Joel. Look over in Joel. Joel chapter 2. I was going to save this for another message, but the Lord just brought it back to mind, and it fits in here, so we're going to do it. See, the true social injustice, it's the believers who do not pray over this nation. That is the true social injustice. We're the ones that have the ability to make an impact. We're the ones that have the ability to tear down the strongholds of the enemy. We're the ones who have this anointing. We're the ones who have this authority and this power. We're the ones that have the ability to do it. But if we don't go before God, if we don't get on our knees, if we don't pray on behalf of our country, why wouldn't people kneel at the national anthem? Why wouldn't we have all these problems? The Christians are the ones who are supposed to be kneeling. Look here. In Joel chapter 2, look here at verse 15. God says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Like, what is a solemn assembly? Well, very basically, it's get everybody together for a time of going before God. He says, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Now stop right there. And where he says, weep between the porch and the altar, turn, keep your finger here and turn over to Exodus chapter 30, and I'll show you what this is about. Weep between the porch and the altar. In Exodus chapter 30, and this is exactly what this verse is talking about. In Exodus chapter 30, begin in verse 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and that thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Now, notice this. What he's saying is, again, keep it brief. He's saying between the altar or the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, you put this bowl. And the bowl's going to have water in it. And before the priests can go any further, what they have to do is stop at the bowl and wash. And what are they doing? Well, they're symbolically, they're washing the impurities off of them. But that whole scenario, okay, we've been made kings and priests unto God by Jesus Christ. The type and shadow, what that represents is, before we go into the Holy of Holies, before we really get in there, what we're supposed to do is wash at the basin. What does that mean? What it means is you repent before God. You purge yourself, you cleanse yourself, you go before God in humility, and you wash yourself before you go in there and start making your petitions known. And so where he says here, back over in Joel chapter 2, he says, let the priests, verse 17, the ministers of the Lord, that's us, weep between the porch and the altar. Why are we doing that? Because it is a time of not simply confessing our own sins, but it's a matter of going before God on behalf of the people of our nation and confessing the sins of our nation for a cleansing in this country. And he says, here's an idea of how you're supposed to pray. Spare thy people, O Lord. Give not your heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Is that not what we're hearing now? In essence, where is God? I mean, well, you Christians, you know, who do you think you are? And God is saying, I'm telling you how to address this issue. You got to deal with yourself first, then you got to be on your knees and weep between the porch and the altar. And he says, now look at this, verse 18. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto this people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. What are we seeing here? Symbolically, he's talking about spiritual warfare. He's talking about, you do your part, and you're going to get me involved with you, and I am going to begin working with you and your prayers, and the strongholds of the enemy are going to begin to be torn down. He says, fear not, verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Now look here. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. What's he talking about? This is revival. He's saying there's going to be a breakthrough, a breakout, a release. He said, you do your part. You weep between the porch and the altar, and you come before me. In other words, you do your part, and you turn your back on the social injustice that you're imposing upon this nation, because you're the only ones that can come before me like this. And he says, you do your part, and I'll be able to do my part, and you're going to see where he talks about the corn, the wine, the oil. It's talking about a release of anointing, a release, a greater increase of truth, a greater increase of his power, a greater increase of his glory being released among the people. And he says here in verse 25,
And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, that my great army, which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Glory to God. He's saying, if you do your part, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to move on your behalf. But you've got to do your part. And when it comes to this whole thing of the social injustice, we're the ones to blame. We're the ones that are supposed to be kneeling. We're the ones that are supposed to be on our knees. And look, I stand here and I admit, you know, I've not prayed over this country as much as I should have. But I have prayed. And I'm continuing to pray. And we're going to get into this. This is a part of corporate prayer right here. What we're saying, this is a part of corporate prayer. We're the kings and the priests. Do you know that this nation, I mean the United States of America, since that's where we are right now, the United States of America depends on the body of Christ. If we do our part, God will move. Now, we're not going to change the book of Revelation. And there will still be, you know, heat. And there will still be drought. You know, symbolism, there's still going to be problems. Things are going to happen. However, the heathen don't have to rule over us. They don't have to. They don't have to be the ones in charge. And, you know, and I think right now the president we have, I thank God. I mean, yeah, okay, we may not agree with everything he's done and everything he's said, but gee whiz, he does stand up for Christians. I mean, and I just, one of the things that I've been praying is that, Father, just like when Israel, under Jehoshaphat, went to battle against the enemy, and they began to praise the Lord, and confusion was released in the camp of the enemy, one of my prayers is, may that confusion be released in the camp of the enemy. Spiritual, and as far as the natural is concerned, those who are liberal, I don't care, call them Democrat, call them Republican, call them whatever you want to. If they're liberal, then let there be confusion in the camp. And you know what? It's happening now. That confusion is increasing. Now guys, look. There is social injustice, and people aren't being treated correctly. And I know that, and I admit it. There's all kinds of prejudice in this country. I get it. And until everybody is born again and sold out to Jesus, you're not going to change that. So what we need to do then is focus on what we can do. And that is weep between the porch and the altar. Go before God and at least do our part. Lift up these prayers and open a door for God to begin to move the way he wants to move. And I'm telling you right now, things will change, things will happen. I'm not saying there's going to be a glory cloud over the United States. But what I am saying is God has promised what he will do. And so therefore, this will happen. If we do our part, this will happen. Praise God. So guys, let's accept our role, our responsibility, and realize that all this other kind of social injustice protesting, it's because they really do not understand to trust the Lord. Let's do our part. And then when we stand before God, we're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Praise the Lord.